You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is How to Fight with Your Faith by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
1 Timothy 6 chapter, verse 12. 1 Timothy 6 chapter and verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. How many of us have heard that phrase or heard that scripture before? All right. Fight the good fight of faith. And, you know, I was reminded, I was listening to someone's podcast the other day. They explained what the word hallelujah meant. And because they said, you know, sometimes we say things in church. We just get so used to saying them that we just say them religiously. Sometimes I discover folks in the church, they don't even know what they mean. We just say what we heard or we think what we heard. You know, I don't know if y'all saw it was on one of the social media saying, man, a guy was going in. He was going in. He was singing. From the bottom of his heart, depths of his soul, saying, Chicago, Chicago, Chicago will come. Chicago come. Chicago will come. Chicago will come. And then some, while he's singing, I mean, he's going in. Somebody whispered in his ear and told him what he spoke. Then he starts saying, Shekinah glory. Shekinah. Shekinah come. Now, that's not a joke. He was going in singing Chicago. You know, and you see some people walk up to him and he said, Chicago, Chicana come. Sometimes we just religiously say things, and we religiously, I think, have said, we're going to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to fight the good fight of faith. And I want to take the time and pause on that to make sure that we know how to fight with your faith. When we're talking about fight the good fight of faith, fight the good fight of faith, we're talking about fighting with your faith. Amen? Because you've heard me say it before, you're either in a fight, just got finished a fight, or on your way to a fight. Can any of us identify with one of the fight tenses? Either past fight, present fight, future fight. I ain't talking about your husband, okay? Okay, and your teenage child. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a faith fight. I'm talking about a fight in a realm of the spirit. I'm talking about a fight that is not flesh and blood. And so, since we're going to be in fights, you need to know how to fight. But, you know, I grew up in the projects and long before they had, you couldn't fight, you know, everybody going to get put out of school and all that kind of stuff. Now we got National Anti-Bullying Society and all kind of websites about anti-bullying and all that. And it kind of make me scratch my head, you know what I'm saying? Because it ain't like bullying is something that just started in the last couple of years. There's some folks here 70 years old remember bullying. But it was only one way you dealt with a bully. It wasn't by social media. It wasn't by going on the Ellen DeGeneres show. The only way you dealt with a bully, you had to fight a bully. Now, I ain't telling y'all because your kid gonna get out, you know. But I remember when, people tell me, you know, I was bullied all my life. You bullied all your life. If I came home and told my mama I was bullied for a month, I'm going to wish my mother going to bully me so much that I'll put an end to the other bully. Okay? There's only one way you deal with a bully at the end of the day. The kids ain't here. Kids and children's church, right? I ain't trying to get your kids put out of school or anything. You got to fight a bully. The bully got to realize at some point, no, I'm not giving my lunch. Nope. I'm not doing it. Not today. I'm tired of giving you my lunch money. Tired of giving you my sandwich. The only way this is going to stop, you're going to have to contend with the bully. How many of y'all know the devil's a bully? Amen. You know, we use this phrase about taking candy from a baby. And devil don't care nothing about you being no baby. He does not care. You better grow up fast. Amen. In certain communities, kids got to grow up fast. They got to grow up fast. And the devil doesn't care anything about the fact that you were, you know, that you didn't grow up under this kind of word. You know, the devil will say, okay, well, let me give you a few more years under Pastor Bailey. Let me make sure that you get rooted and grounded before I attack you. He could care less. He will take advantage of your ignorance. That's why the Bible says my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. The devil will take advantage of you not knowing those scriptures. The devil will take advantage of you not knowing how to fight. The devil will take advantage of you not knowing how to pray. The devil will take advantage of your low self-esteem. Yes, he will. The devil will take advantage of all these things that we think people should feel sorry for us about. The devil will take advantage. You better deal with it quick. Learn what you got to learn quick. Get in his word. Pray. Get built up because you're in a fight. When you drive in Dallas, I don't know if anybody ever drive in Dallas. Dallas, I think it's I-35. I think it's 35. You know, it's real unique because, see, here we got these nice acceleration lanes, you know, where you ride down like about a quarter of a mile and you can see who's coming up, you know, and you get all this time and even, you know, and then you can. No. That ain't how it is on I-35 in Dallas. It's like when you turn onto the acceleration, you in the traffic. Like, you're like, whoa. Like, we don't have time for you to catch up, okay? You got to get in there. That's how it is with spiritual warfare. You got to learn how to fight quick. Got to learn how to fight for your marriage. Got to learn how to fight for your children. Got to learn how to fight for your body. Got to learn how to fight for your finances. Got to learn how to fight for your healing. The devil will take advantage of the fact that you don't come to Bible study. And you need to understand, for those of you who stay home, or may not think it's not important. Now, if you come to church twice a week and get under the word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're taking the word, applying the word, internalizing the word, then you ought to be twice as knowledgeable and twice as spiritually powerful as somebody just come to church on Sunday. I mean, not just because you come, but I'm saying if you take the word and do it and apply it. So since we're going to have fights, you need to know how to fight. So I want to give you some real practical steps about how to fight with your faith. Everybody say with your faith. Okay, because, you know, we can't. I know you want to punch the devil out, but you can't. I know you really want to kick the devil's tail, but you can't. Anybody want to cut the devil? Let's blow up the devil. Okay, let's go into hell and detonate bombs. Okay, but no, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to pull down strongholds, which we'll get to in a moment. Number one, to fight with your faith, you got to put your head in the fight. Put your head in the fight. When I say put your head in the fight, I mean, you got to be thinking right. You got to think straight. Because the battle foremost is first and foremost in your mind. You win or you lose, not on the battlefield. You win or lose on the way to the battlefield. You win or lose before you ever get in the battle. The battle first and foremost is in your mind. So you got to get your head right. You got to get, look at your name, say, get your head right. Now, scripture I got ready to quote, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, natural, or fleshy, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Now, it mentions strongholds. That's a term we don't really use in our modern day vernacular. But if you keep reading, it's going to tell you what strongholds are. Strongholds, casting down imaginations. So strongholds are imaginations. In verse 3, it talks about pulling them down. In verse 5, it talks about casting them down. So strongholds are imagination. Where are imaginations? In your mind. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So this high thing tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. This high thing, these imaginations in your mind, try to take preeminence over what you know about God. You know God's a healer. You know God's a way maker. You know God's a burden bearer. You know God is a deliverer. Do you know those things? But your situation, but the doctor's report, but the credit report, but whatever, it tries to take preeminence over what you know about God. So when my wife says to me before many, many years ago, okay, she says, you know, I don't know what God going with. God could talk to somebody to give us a house. Well, I didn't have that much knowledge about God. I said, hey, ain't nobody give nobody no house. Nobody give nobody. We got to get enough money, got to get enough experience. But where she was, she said, no, my knowledge of God, God is bigger than my credit report. But that, I didn't have that much knowledge about God right then. See, so the strongholds, the imaginations are things that you conjure up in your mind. Am I right? How many of you know when you're going through trial, your imagination can run away with you, and that thing, you can think of that being worse than it'll ever be. Gloria, I heard Gloria Copeland say something years ago. She said, you dread, when you dread, you're having terror in your mind about something you got to do. Said, so the problem about dread is that now you got to do it twice. Because you already did it in your head, and now you still got to go ahead and do it. Man, I just dread driving to Atlanta, 3.5 hours, Lord. You still got to get it. So now you done already messed yourself up, depressed yourself about the ride in your mind, got all discouraged, but you still got to get in the car and go. And so the weapons of our warfare might be through God pulling down strongholds, casting down imagination. Every high thing, because that sickness seemed like a high thing. That debt seemed like a high thing. This marriage problem seemed like a high thing. It tries to act like it's higher than God. But every high thing that tries to exalt itself against what I really know about God and bring it to captivity, every what? Every thought. So now I know that strongholds are imaginations and thoughts in my mind that try to rise up over what I know about God. Stronghold. Okay, let me give you another definition of a stronghold. A stronghold is a lie that has been lodged in your mind. A lie that has been lodged in your mind. A lie that has been lodged in your mind that has to be uprooted and dug out. See, for some of you, it's not that the word is not working. We're still working on digging up the lie. My son, Pastor Chandler, said to me some years ago. I don't care, remember, he always just says profound things. And when he first started saying profound things, it used to just blow our mind that this boy's being so profound. Like, this is the same kid. Wow, he's really hearing God now, you know. And but he said, I remember one time he said, Dad, he said, we should be able to go much further than you and Mom, because y'all had to learn this faith as you became adults. Said, we've been raised in this thing. See, that's how it ought to be for your children. Because some of us, we had to unlearn religion before we learned faith. You had to learn that you can speak to mountains and take authority over mountains and tell mountains be removed, because you, when you were singing for so long about coming up the rough side of it. And you just thought, oh, this whole world, I'm coming up. And every time you saw a mountain, I'm coming up. Then they come over here and talk about, speak to that mountain, tell that mountain to be removed. And you tell mountain be removed. You mean, I'm coming up. See, we got to unlearn. Sometimes you got to unlearn the lie before you can get the truth. I tweeted something this week. I told you to get these profound things. I tweet them so I can remember. I can go back to them. That before you can be transformed, you got to be informed. That's good right there. Before you can be transformed, you got to be informed. Put up Romans 12 and 2. Okay. Paul writes to the church of Rome and says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be shaped by the way the world does things, the way the world thinks, by its customs, by its attitudes, by its low-level thinking. but be ye transformed by what? By renewing your mind. So transform comes through what? Mind renewal. Mind renewal comes through what? New information. Come on, I'm in the book, y'all. So before you be transformed, you got to be informed. So before your life can be transformed, you got to be informed of what God's perfect will is for your life. So you got to put your head in the fight. You got to get your head right before the fight. Mike Tyson, I remember the day he was the beast. He's beating everybody. Okay? Nobody caught it how to last, what, 3-4 rounds. He just, it was just awful. And then he got beat by somebody where he just should have been making some money. By Buster Douglas. I believe the match was in Japan. Okay? And he got beat by Buster Douglas because the night before he was with these girls. His mind, he went there to fight. He wasn't supposed to be there with women. That's not what he went there for. But he took the fight for granted, and he didn't have his head in the fight. Are y'all with me? So he lost a fight that he never should have lost. How many battles have you lost that you shouldn't have lost just because your mind wasn't right? His mind wasn't right. So you got to get your thoughts right, your head right, your mind right. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? He says, oh, ye little faith. Remember I said little faith? Little, worry about little things. These are little things in the eyes of God. He says, stop thinking about that. This stuff down here, when your mind ought to be elevated up here. Take no thought. So how do you take thoughts? By what? By saying. Take no thought, saying. Take no thought, saying. Thoughts come, don't say it. If you don't say it, that thought will die unborn. You'll abort the thought if you don't say it. Saying thought seals the thought. Saying thought puts it into motion. Matthew 5, go to Mark 5. So trouble going to come. How many of y'all know trouble going to come? That ain't a negative confession. That's the devil. Don't make that negative confession. No, trouble going to come. Stop being so deep. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. That means trouble going to come. I don't care how long you've been saved, how much you confess, how many scriptures you know, trouble going to come. Mark 5, we often often teach you all about the woman with the issue of blood. But remember, the woman with the issue of blood is really not what this chapter is supposed to be about. This chapter starts off in Mark 5. And among other things, the Bible tells us how Jairus, a leader of the ruler of the synagogues, around verse 21. My daughter, verse 23, is lying at the point of death. My daughter is on a critical list. My daughter's in ICU, CCU. My daughter's on the critical list. And he said, I pray that just come lay your hands on her and that she may be healed. And as Jesus is going, now this woman with the issue of blood. Jesus on his way. The woman wasn't trying to interrupt. She just touches Jesus, but Jesus feels virtue go out of him. She stole a healing. Okay. And then Jesus says, who touched me? And the woman comes and she tells him all. We know it's all because we find out how long she had the condition. We found out she used to have money. Now she don't have any money anymore. We find out, that it's been 12 years. We found out that she had been from doctor to doctor and all this stuff. And Jesus supposed to be on his way to Jairus' house. And I can see the woman, y'all haven't preached better than me. And the woman's just going in and quickening, carrying on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, and all that. And Jesus hearing her story. And Jairus is like, you're interrupting. Jesus will be on his way to heal my daughter. So because this woman steals the blessing and want to have testimony service, verse 35, while he yet spake to this woman, tell her faith is made a whole, there comes someone from synagogue, ruler of the synagogue, at Jairus' house, saying, your daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further? Don't even worry, but tell Jesus he can go on now. We don't need him anymore. Your daughter's dead. Look at this. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only what? Only believe. Know what Jesus was trying to get him to do? He was trying to get him to get his head right. I know what you just heard, but don't say what they're saying. Don't let what you just heard them say move you. Okay, I'll always take you all about Psalm 112 around verse 6. His heart is fixed, trusting God. His heart is fixed. Surely he shall not be moved forever. Okay, the righteous shall be in everlasting. Remember, go to verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. What's evil tidings? Bad news. Why? Because his heart is fixed, trusting God. So, this is so good. So because my heart is fixed, because my heart is fixed, trusting the Lord, even though they just came and said, your daughter's dead, Jesus said, let your heart be fixed. When you sent your men here to get me, and when you came, you sent me here believing your daughter's going to live. And Jesus said, don't let what they said to you change what you were believing. Oh my goodness. Look at that verse from the Amplified. Verse 35. Mark 5. While he was speaking, there came one from the ruler's house who said, Jairus, your daughter's dead. Why bother or distress to teach any further? Verse 6. It says, overhearing, but ignoring what they said. Glory to God. You got to hear and not hear. Overhearing, but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing. Don't let this evil tidings short circuit your faith. Keep on believing. Stay in the same position of faith. Watch this. Hearing, overhearing, but ignoring. You have heard me use this example before. I used to really get upset. You know, I used to get upset because somebody said, I met so-and-so. He told me he didn't like you, and they told me such and such. I said, well, when was that? Oh, I remember he told me that about a year ago, 6 months ago. And I'm getting all messed up. Man, wow. Somebody said that to me. He was talking about me 6 months, a year ago. Now it occurred to me, I just found out about it today. But they said it 6 months ago. So obviously what they said 6 months ago had no influence over my joy. Had no influence over my peace. They said it 6 months ago. I heard it today. But they said, so since it didn't have any influence over my life 6 months ago, then it shouldn't have any influence over my life right now. They said it 6 months ago. I hear, but I don't hear. We look at your neighbor and tell them, somebody talking about you right now. Tell them. Somebody talking about you right now. It ain't making you cry. Some of y'all laughing about it. Somebody talking about you right now. The devil say all kind of stuff. You need to laugh. Oh, devil, you so stupid. You got to hear but ignore. Hear but ignore. In terms of the spirit realm. And I'm going to bring some balance to that in a moment. Okay, so I don't take the thought. I keep on believing. Because watch this. They got something in hermeneutics, which is study of biblical interpretation, that's called the law of first mention. Which means the way that, in the context that a word is first mentioned in the scriptures, that's a precedent or a rule, a principle of what it's intended to mean throughout the scriptures. Well, likewise, there is the law of first words. That the first words you speak when you hear something. The first words that you speak when you get bad news.
Every battle that you encounter may not be a physical fight. Sometimes you will have to fight with your faith. Doctors Herbert and Marcia Bailey give you strategies to win in the spiritual realm. Order this powerful 5-part series today for your love gift of $25 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to writedirection.info. ask for how to fight with your faith. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.